Welcome, everyone. Thank you all for joining us. This is Dr. Will Tuttle. I'd like to welcome everyone to our World Peace Diet Circle call, the third Thursday of October 2020, October 15th. And it's wonderful to be with you. Now we have the new system where I'm going to have to admit everyone manually, so that takes a little bit of a delay. But we'll do our best. So, gosh, it's good to see you all or know that you're present. And on this particular call, we are going to be hopefully hearing from Anna Ferguson, who is the founder of World Peace Yoga in Cincinnati. She and Mark Stroud and other people in Cincinnati, but they're the two main ones, I think, are going to be presenting the Cincinnati Veg Fest. And Anna Ferguson will be joining us in a few minutes. And we'll talk to her about the Cincinnati Veg Fest. And so what I'd like to do in the beginning here is go ahead and just take a short time to connect through our meditation time, and then we'll open it up for our conversation. So I'm sitting here in the living room looking out over Hidden Valley Lake. We have the lake right out through the window. I can see Madeline and I were just swimming a little while ago. I think my hair is still wet a little bit. And it's beautiful. It's a warm October day. It was up in the high 80s here. So we're having a little bit of an Indian summer. And it's just beautiful. The fires that were around earlier, they weren't too close to us, but they're gone. So the air is clear. It's really beautiful. And of course, we have many challenges in our world today, which we'll be talking about. But it's great to be here. Great to be with you. So thanks again for joining us. So I'll go ahead and open it up now for our meditation time. Very often I like to start on an F key for the meditation because there's seven planets and seven chakras and seven primary notes on the Western musical scale. So F, according to some systems, corresponds to the heart chakra and to the earth of the planets. And so here we are. Okay, so let's become aware of our breathing as we just join together in a short meditation. Allowing ourselves to enter more deeply into this present moment. The holy moment, the holiest of all moments. The only holy moment is right now. Always good to remember, life only happens in this moment, not in the past or the future. Just take a nice exhalation, just exhaling any tension. Exhaling whatever it took to get here. And arriving in our sacred space, our World Peace Diet Circle, dedicated to the healing of all of our relations, to creating a field of compassion, of empathy, of freedom, of joy and peace and harmony, of truth, of gratitude. So we give thanks for this precious opportunity of this time together. To focus on the eternal dimension of consciousness, the transpersonal dimension. Transpersonal literally means beyond the mask. Our true nature, beyond the illusion of separateness. And we give thanks for all of our teachers, all the teachers in our life, the human teachers, and especially to the non-human teachers, whoever they may be. Maybe the birds, maybe the trees and flowers, the fishes, animals celebrating their lives with complete authenticity. Maybe invisible beings bringing inspiration, wisdom, and healing. Maybe future selves bringing their wisdom. Maybe the ancestors bringing their caring and insight into our lives, into this great adventure, this great mystery, this great opportunity of a human birth. So we give thanks for all of our relations, we give thanks to the whole web of life on this beautiful and abundant earth, to all the beings celebrating their lives here, breathing together wherever we are, whatever state we're in, whatever country we're in, whatever time zone, whatever mental or emotional or spiritual state we're in, we're breathing together. Exhaling. Together, inhaling, breathing in the suffering of the world, and as we exhale, we send it forth as peace and harmony. We are transformers. We can inhale the pain and difficulties into our heart and turn them around, and exhale joy and freedom, abundance, and compassion. We are here on this earth with our unique purpose, We are here on this earth with our unique talents and gifts. We are here on this earth to shine the light of our true nature into the infinite web of relations, to contribute to the yoga of healing, the yoga of truth, the yoga of awakening. The yoga of freedom. The yoga of patience in the face of the many challenges arising all around us. May all beings be happy. May all beings be at peace. May all beings be free. May we continue to build a movement for the liberation of all living beings. May we continue to work together to amplify the light that shines in every cell of our being, to focus that light through every thought and word and deed into a positive stream of healing and peace, that our stream may join many other streams from our human brothers and sisters, all working together, that these streams create an unstoppable river flowing to the ocean of liberation for all expressions of life, all connected and interconnected, weaving and interweaving in countless ways beyond our capacity to rationally understand. We give thanks in this moment and in every moment for our life and for all the teachers in our life and for this opportunity to be part of the awakening of human consciousness on this earth to create a world that reflects our true nature. A world that cares for all life. We give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining together in this meditation time. Consciousness and awareness and our hearts are not bound by time or space. And so we give thanks, knowing this is so, and open to the possibilities in our life beyond what our rational minds perhaps can conceive, knowing that we are always entering into uncharted territory every day. There are new possibilities that perhaps we have never been able to envision because they're new for ourselves and for our society. And I think part of that, a big part of that, is our capacity for spiritual regeneration and insight as individuals, and that this comes about through our efforts, through our practices, through our dedication to taking time every day to cultivate our awareness, both in our mind and also in our body. So I'd like to go ahead now, as I said earlier, and introduce Anna Ferguson, who is joining us from Cincinnati. And she's an old and dear friend and companion on the path. We've spent a lot of time together over the years, Anna and Madeline and I and Mark Stroud also, and there's a whole community in Cincinnati that is very inspiring to us. They've put on so many great, helpful, healing initiatives, and we've been fortunate to be part of quite a few of those. Not only these veg fests, but even going back earlier, there was annual vegan gatherings, jubilees, I think for 5 years. It was really fantastic to be part of that as well. And so interweaving with the people of Cincinnati, I think there's this underlying awareness of the power of yoga as a spiritual and physical and mental discipline that can also bring liberation. So Anna is really one of the pioneers in North America, I would say in the world, of the connection between veganism, ahimsa, compassion, yoga, as a way of living. And she's written a wonderful book also that goes into this more in depth, World Peace Yoga. And she has a studio, and she and Mark are part of the main people, along with some other folks in Cincinnati, that are putting on a veg fest. It was going to be, of course, like all veg fests have been, an actual physical event, but now it's going to be online. So I'd like to go ahead and welcome Anna. This is going to be coming up, not this weekend, but the following weekend. So Anna, okay, good. You're unmuted. That's great. So let me just ask you if you can just tell us a little bit about the Veg Fest that's coming up, who's going to be presenting, and what your goals are for this. That would be just so good to hear about that, and so good to see you.
Yeah, great to see you too, and thank you for that lovely meditation. It was wonderful to settle in. I just finished teaching. I'm actually at our studio here right now in Cincinnati. And we're actually really looking forward to the Veg Fest this year. As you said, Will, we had intended for it to be in person, an outdoor event at Burnett Woods. But it did not get approved to go forward based on the attendance last year and what was expected. So we decided that rather than to not have it, to do a virtual event, which is great that that other veg fests are doing this as well. Like, nothing's going to stop us, right? We're going to find a way.
Exactly. I love that.
So we're going to be doing our Veg Fest via Facebook Live on October 24th, which is a Saturday, and it will be running from 12 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'll kind of run down the schedule a bit. I'll be kicking it off with some yoga for all levels. So if you're new to the practice, it's definitely a great one to tune into. And then after I teach, it'll be around a 45-minute class. Then we'll have like a 10-minute kids yoga session. And that will go into some kids music, which is with David Kaiser. And he is also vegan and writes really wonderful children's music. And he wrote some songs specific for the Veg Fest. And then we'll go into an interview with Ruby Roth. So we kind of got this little kids section bundled together with yoga, music, and then an interview with Ruby Roth. And, of course, she talks about her children's books and veganism and things like that. So we, after Ruby Roth, we'll be interviewing, let's see, who's after Ruby? I think we'll have a local presenter, her name's Sarah Crisp, who's doing a herbal tea demo. And so we'll have a couple different food demos throughout. The very last person group presenting is Hudos, which usually they perform live music. And what they're doing this year for the virtual event is a live music cooking class, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Music cooking class, does that mean music and cooking, or are they cooking up some music?
They are actually combining a cooking class and music.
Wow. That's great.
So it's going to be a really fun time, and they're just they'll make it a show for sure.
That's great. And I just want to tell everybody that, you know, Ruby Roth is absolutely fantastic. She's written these amazing books, and she's also an artist, so she writes and illustrates. They're bestsellers. I mean, these books are really bestsellers and have caused a lot of controversy. She was on mainstream television because of her books, saying that dairy is not healthy for kids and cause a lot of suffering. And she does that in little kids' books, but they're really very provocative, and she's a fantastic speaker. So it's great you have her.
Yeah, she's phenomenal, and she'll be in LA for the interview. You know, one thing that's the real positive about this event being virtual is that we are able to connect with presenters that may not have been available to come to Cincinnati. So, Ruby's definitely one of those people that wasn't able to make it to the event, but now she's able to be with us virtually. And so it's great that we're able to have this variety. We've got a vegan comedian. His name is Sean Mallory, and he's New York City based, and he'll be doing a little comedy session as part of the Veg Fest. And then some of you might be familiar with DJ Kavum. He does music and hip hop, and he's really big into vegan hip hop and teaching. His latest album comes with actually a pack of seeds, and he's really big on growing non-GMO, organic, and teaching people how to grow their own.
Great.
And he sings about it in his music. So we'll be interviewing him as part of the event. And then Will of course is doing a talk on, veganism and animal liberation and spiritual awakening, which is always wonderful to hear you speak, Will.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
My sister Amy, she is going to be performing some music, and Zach Friedhoff, he's a musician here in Ohio, also a vegan, who will be performing some music. And Will Tucker, which Will Tuttle, you actually connected us with Will Tucker, and he's a vegan bodybuilder, and he'll be speaking at the event. And Afia Ibamu, who is a nutritionist, and if anyone's familiar with Dead Prez, Stick is her husband, and she has kind of cooked for a lot of different celebrities and musicians, and she's really fabulous and is going to be interviewing with us, talking about food and nutrition and things of that nature.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that kind of gives a little rundown of what to expect, and yeah.
That's so great. Yeah, it sounds like a fantastic program, and I'm so glad that you were able to get Will Tucker. He's just a beautiful guy. You know, he's really, he and his wife put together this every Once a month, it's like they block off. I'm not sure if it's still going now, but it went for quite a few years. Now with COVID, things have stopped, but they block off a whole city block in Phoenix, and it's all vegan. It's like a big vegan festival with music and booths, and it's like a Friday night. They have one Friday night, and they have another one on Saturday night, I think in Mesa, one in Phoenix and one in Mesa. So we've been able to attend those, and they're really creating a wonderful vegan community in Phoenix, somehow similar to what you guys are doing in Cincinnati. So it's a great connection. I'm glad about that.
Yeah.
So, and I also wanted to ask you if you could talk to us. First of all, I just want to encourage everyone to be sure to take time to check this out. Can you tell us what the date and what the website is, maybe exactly when it is? I mean, the times and so forth.
Yes. So CincyVegFest.com, and the schedule is listed there from, like, kind of gives you the rundown from 12 to 6:30 when what speaker will be on and what to expect.
Saturday, right? A week from Saturday?
Yes, it's Saturday, October 24th.
Right. Yeah. Great. And then also, you know, if you have time, it would be fun to just hear a little bit more about some of the other, like, I know you've been working on a school, getting that set up. I mean, it's already been going, but now, of course, with the pandemic, schools are having a hard time. So are you able to actually keep the school going in the middle of all this resistance, or how's it going with your school in Cincinnati?
Yeah, it's going. It's been challenging. I think every school has had its challenges right now. But we're actually moving into a new permanent location. We've been renting the past few years, and we're moving into a new permanent home and getting settled in the weeks ahead, and we're just pushing forward. We've got a little bit lower enrollment this year with some families on the fence with COVID, but I have a sense that come January, we're going to be increasing our enrollment, and I just keep hearing from more and more families how they really want their kids to actually physically be in school, not learning virtually. So I think we'll get through this rough spot, and we're just enthusiastic about moving, having an actual home that
right.
is ours, that we can make our own and know that we can be there for many years to come.
Wow, that's awesome. As I understand, it's a Montessori-based philosophy and curriculum, but it's vegan, maybe one of the only actual vegan schools in the country that's specifically vegan and also Montessori. I guess that's part of it, but I think it's a great thing. You know, people could, you know, move to Cincinnati if they have kids and want to make sure that their kids get a great education through Anna's school. Heart, I think it's called Heart Montessori, right?
Yeah, heartmontessorischool.com. You can check out the information. And we, you know, we have a lot of interested families that love Montessori and are vegan or plant-based, and they find us and are like, oh my gosh, the dream come true. And then some families that are not vegan or maybe have never even considered eating a plant-based diet, but they just like the idea of their children eating that kind of food and help. They know it's healthy. And so it's not like only vegans are attending school. We're definitely, it's definitely education for other families too. And the kids are learning how to grow food, and they're taking this information home to their families. And so it's an opportunity to really transition families into this lifestyle.
Right. And you're also doing and on top of all that, you have a yoga studio, which I know has been a hub for the vegan community and the conscious spiritual community in Cincinnati. Are you still only doing things virtually? I guess you have some classes maybe also that people can attend.
Yeah, we reopened in June once we got the green light to do so. We have some requirements that we have to adhere to be able to be open. And people are slowly trickling back in. We're streaming all of our classes online too. So any classes that are in person are also streamed online. And the wonderful thing about this is, as a result of COVID, something that we've been talking about doing for years, which is having a virtual program, having our teacher training program online and having having classes that people can take online, this kind of pushed us to finally do something that we've been talking about doing for years.
All right.
So it's it's definitely been a real positive. If you want to look at the there's been some challenges, no doubt, but it's actually been really positive that we now have virtual classes that for people that are looking to take yoga from teachers that are aligned with their values that are vegan, which sadly there aren't the community is growing, but it's not like it's that easy to find a vegan yoga teacher at any given yoga studio. So I know that was important for me, especially as I deepen my study and do teacher training, that I'm taking classes and workshops and really putting my energy in with teachers that align with my values. And so we feel really great about that we're doing the program and our classes virtually now. And actually, we just launched a Groupon yesterday for our classes, and there's some really great deals. So if you're on Groupon and look up World Peace Yoga, you'll find some great deals for our online classes.
Oh, okay. Great. So online. Actually, I think a lot of people are saying that it works pretty well, even though it's nothing like being in a studio with somebody and seeing and getting corrected. But having that opportunity, do you find, this is just a curious question I have, because every state is different, so I'm not sure what the Ohio regulations are exactly, but are you allowed during your classes that are there in the studio, the students, to just social distance and they don't have to wear a mask? Does that work? Can you do it that way, or do you have to wear a mask too?
So when we, when people enter the space, they're supposed to wear a mask. But then when we're on our mats practicing, there's no mask requirement.
Yeah, because you couldn't really breathe well. I mean, it'd be hard to do yoga with a mask on, I would think. That'd be kind of defeating the purpose. It'd be like trying to jog or something with a mask on. So that's good to hear. I'm so glad these COVID viruses are so smart. They know when to be – they only attack certain times. So that's good.
Yeah, and we actually recommend people, we have it on our list of all of our COVID requirements. We actually recommend people to not wear a mask when they're practicing, that it's up to them. But we think it's more a liability for people to wear a mask because we don't want people passing out when they're doing these deep breathing exercises and things like that.
Right.
We actually think it's safer for people to not be wearing a mask when we're actually doing the physical exercises and breathing techniques.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. I just read an article, a transcript of a German doctor. You maybe saw that, but it was really quite profound. She was just lamenting the fact that people are wearing masks, and especially older people, and especially young kids and teenagers. It's really hard. But she said that people realize when they're wearing a mask that it's more difficult to breathe, and then they very often get a headache or they feel a little different and don't feel that good. But then after, if they do it quite a bit, they get used to it. And she was saying that when people get used to it, that's even worse, because what that does is it's killing off brain cells on a pretty regular and pretty, you know, strong way. But they won't really see the effects of that probably for maybe 5, 10, 15, or 20 years because these brain cells really don't regenerate and they won't have a memory. They'll have a lot more problems later. So I think it's great that you're encouraging people to avoid that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, we obviously are not able to physically touch people right now. We do the distancing and it's been working out well. There's still, I think there's still a lot of hesitancy for people to come into the studio. Yeah. We've got more people practicing online right now. But it varies. It depends on the type of class, actually. Sometimes there's more people in the studio, but people are slowly, I think, becoming more comfortable, and that's good.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of, I know, a very busy schedule you have with, you have your son. How old is your son now? He must be getting up there. Is he like 6 or I can't remember?
Yeah, just turned 6.
Just turned 6. Wow. That's a handful. And, it's so good to see your shining face. Give our love to everyone, to Sean and everyone, Mark and the whole, community there. Looking forward to, seeing you again. And thanks so much for joining us. And actually, if anyone has any comments or questions, I should have said that earlier, but if anyone has any comments or questions for Anna, go ahead and do something. I think you press *6 if you'd like to, or wave your hand. Is Andy waving her hand? I can't tell. No, she's not waving. Oh, you are waving your hand. Yeah, hi, Andy. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'm 65. I want to go to her school.
Right, it sounds great. I know.
It sounds very good. What's the age limit?
No. Yeah, Montessori school is open. I think it's
it's kids. I know. I'm kidding.
Yoga studio would be great, though. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, right now we're doing ages 3 to 9, but actually we are looking to take it all the way up to high school so that we can, right now we're growing with the kids. So our vision is to take it all the way to high school. So,
sounds good. I'll lie about my age. Thank you. Everything sounds incredible. Thank you.
Thank
Will?
You. Yes.
Will, if we, Anna, if we really want to take class with you, we could do that virtually. And how do we do that?
Yes. I can send, maybe Will, I can send you the links.
I can put it out to everybody and when I send out the email. But maybe just say it now. What's the link? Is it easy?
If you just go to worldpeaceyoga.com and click on our weekly schedule, you can see our list of teachers and who's teaching. And we offer your first month free, so you can purchase the free month, which is $0. And you can do that on our website.
Thanks. Great. That's great. You have a free month to try it out. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Welcome. Yeah, Anna's a fantastic yoga teacher. It's not every day you find one like that, vegan and with so much experience. That's fantastic. Okay, well, any other questions anyone has or comments before we move on here? Thank you all for joining us. And, thanks so much, Anna. I'm going to talk about a few things here now. And if you can stay on, that's great. If you need to go, that's totally great. We understand. Thanks for joining us. Thanks. All right, so... welcome, everyone. I know quite a few people came in while Anna was speaking, so we're just doing our World Peace Diet Circle call. That was Anna Ferguson, who is the co-director, I guess you'd say, of the upcoming Cincinnati Veg Fest, which is the vegan festival, which will be online on Saturday the 24th. Also the founder of the World Peace Yoga, and the Heart Montessori School, vegan school for kids in Cincinnati, and a longtime vegan and World Peace Diet facilitator. She came to the very first training that we did in Michigan way back, I think it was 2000 and I don't know what, 6 or 7, something like that, back in the early days. And so it's wonderful to keep the momentum going for this movement, because I think really that's what I want to talk about, actually, is keeping the momentum going. And I hope that you all have a chance to look at the resources that I shared for October of 2020. It's on our website. I sent out the link. There's a lot there. I'll go through some of it a little bit later. But when we look at the media sources, what's happening, there's there's two main threads, really. One thread is the vegan thread, which is important. I think it's the main thread in many ways. It's the ongoing abuse of animals is, from my point of view, and I think we all agree on that, it's really the most critical issue on our planet. It's the underlying, as I say, the spinning fury at the core of our culture that is invisible. People don't really recognize it and aren't aware of how devastating it is to our physical health and our environment and to our children, to our relationships. And I think it's giving rise to the other main thread, indirectly and in some ways directly, which is this whole pandemic, which has taken on a life of its own. I remember way back in March and April, they said, oh, we're going to flatten the curve. We're just going to lock things down for a few weeks, and then we'll be through it, and then we'll get on with life again. And I don't think that was ever the plan, actually. I think the plan was always to do what's happening, which is to continue to keep things locked down and to introduce a mandatory vaccination. And there's only one way to a mandatory vaccination, which is through fear and through keeping us misinformed about the whole situation. So I've been pretty outspoken about that because, to me, it's a direct result of the routine mistreatment of animals for food. And something I've been saying for decades, really. I've been saying this for years, even in my lectures, saying, as you all know, as you sow, so shall you reap. So if we keep sowing the seeds of the domination and abuse and mandatory medication, really, of billions of animals, they don't have a choice. They don't have the right to informed consent. They don't have the right to keep their children and to decide if their children are going to be medically dominated or physically dominated or sexually abused or not. It just happens to them because their rights have been stolen. And so if every time we, as human beings, take out our wallets and pay for this and pay workers to vaccinate or medicate or impregnate or stab, kill, and mutilate other animals and to microchip them and track them through the system, we're sowing the seeds for that to happen to us. And it's happening. Now we're seeing it really happening on a massive scale. We are now at the point where we are becoming the livestock, and the vegan movement itself is being directly attacked. The right to assembly, the right to freedom of speech, the right to have our views known about these things. Any social justice movement is harmed by loss of human rights and human freedoms and loss of our constitutional rights. So it's really mind-boggling to me that so many people in the vegan movement are blind. They don't see it. And I keep thinking, you know, pinch me, like, hello, why, and actually get angry. Actually get angry that anyone would question masking and microchipping and mandatory vaccination and lockdowns. I don't know. I mean, I'm still flabbergasted by the whole thing. And it's been now, I don't know, 7 or 8 months. And it doesn't really show signs of waning. And that's the thing that I find quite interesting. Like my sister lives in Florida, and they're back almost to normal again. They're at stage 3. When they get to stage 4, that's total normal. So there's no masking there, really. Florida's a lot better off than, say, where I am in California. I still haven't worn a mask yet. I've been able to sneak around it. Today I went to the bank, and the teller said, "Can you please put on your mask?" And I said, "No, I don't wear a mask." And then she went over to the manager, and they let me do my thing. But at the end, the manager said, "Well, the next time you come in, you know, you really should be wearing a mask." So we'll see what happens. But so far I've been able to get away with it. But it's really interesting to see how this idea, and I'm working on writing an essay, but talks about the mask metaphor, which I just want to mention briefly because I think it's a very important one. It's critical, I think, right now, because the basic idea that I've been talking about all for decades is that animal agriculture masquerades, right? It masquerades as something healthy. I talk about it being a Trojan horse, right? You all remember the story of the Greeks when they attacked Troy, they just couldn't get through the gates. They couldn't win. They just couldn't win this war. So they had Odysseus had this great idea of creating this beautiful horse that would look like a wonderful gift and present it to them, and that would, and then of course they were inside the horse, and so the idea was that that horse had nothing but the intention of destroying those people, to kill, murder, rape, and destroy them. And so it's the same thing with animal agriculture. You know, it's presented to us as the wonderful gift of healthy protein and calcium, and the animals are put here by God for us to eat, and it's all just a healthy way to live, and it's how the West was won and what made America great and all these things. And we have to understand that it's has nothing to do with helping us in any way. It's devastating on every level. And so it's masquerading, right? It has this mask. It has a mask. It's a lie. It is a falsehood. It's not true. We don't need to eat meat to be healthy. Eating meat and dairy products and eggs destroys our physical health, our psychological health, our spiritual health. It erodes our environmental and cultural health on every level. And so that's one of what I feel there's quite a few of these masquerades. I think there's three main ones that really imprison people. One is the animal agriculture masquerade. Another one is the chemical masquerade. We have a similar one, chemicals. We have, there's over, I don't know how many, 80, 90,000 chemicals. Most of them are toxic, and they've been approved to be used, or they're just being used. They're put in, they're pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides. They're drugs and vaccines. So they're used to make products and plastics. They're used as fragrances, or as flame retardants, or as who knows what. They just pervade our households, our clothes, our food, our personal care products. And they are carcinogenic, and they're harmful. They're endocrine disruptors. They're harmful to our nervous system and so forth. And so they just boost profits for the pharmaceutical medical industry. You get this whole wave of people with cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, and neurodegenerative diseases, and autoimmune diseases, and all these things that are due to the animal agriculture masquerade, the chemical masquerade. It's amazing, like back in the 40s, I can't remember the exact percentage, but it's something like 30% of crops were lost to pests. So they thought, okay, we'll use these chemicals that were developed during the war against these pests. So now today, with millions of tons of pesticides being sprayed on fields, polluting the water and the air, and killing birds and insects, destroying webs of life, farmers are still losing 30% of their crops, even with all the pesticides. I mean, it hasn't helped at all, and it's made things so much worse, but, of course, better for these industries. They're making huge profits, and they're interconnected. The chemical industry and the pharmaceutical industry, they're the same industry. And the big banks in the background, they're the same industry. So they're making the loans to keep the whole thing going. So those are two. The third one, the third big masquerade, of course, is the banking masquerade, which, if people understood this, I mean, this whole thing with fractional reserve banking, which is just an absolute theft of money and power from the people. And it goes on. If someone goes into a bank and gets a loan with fractional reserve banking, 90% of that loan, the money, is just created when the bank gives the money to the people to buy a house or a business or something, a car, then the bank, 90% of that becomes an asset on their books. So they create money right there. It's an asset that's created out of nothing. And then the people have to pay back all that money with interest. And then if they don't pay it back, then they take the house, and they take the business, and they take the car, they take anything back again. I mean, it's a system, it is a total masquerade. And it's the reason that there's a class, a wealthy, super, super rich, powerful elite class that's been developing over the last few centuries, that's in the background, that's controlling all these corporations, basically, and the governments. So these three masquerades, another big one, I'll mention it just briefly, is the terrorism masquerade. I go, oh, we have terrorism. We need to have a huge military with armed forces all over the world in order to protect ourselves. I mean, that creates enormous suffering for the people, for animals, for ecosystems, and it's really based on a bunch of lies also. That's another masquerade. But those three big ones, animal agriculture and chemicals and banking, you know, those are the big masks, and they're based on falsehoods. They don't want us to know the truth of the toxicity of these practices and the toxicity of what's being foisted upon us, and so they always put on a mask to hide that and portray themselves as what they are not. And now we find that those who are always wearing a mask are now getting us to wear a mask, right? I mean, getting the people, for us to hide our true face, right? They're hiding their true face. Now they want us to hide our true face. So we were just in the store today. We were the only ones in the store not wearing a mask, again, as usual. And this guy came up, you know, he smiled and waved, and I was like, who is this guy? And he said, don't you remember me? And I said, I don't know. Who are you? Take your mask off. And so he actually did. He took his mask off. He was a kind of a free-spirited guy, and he had done some work for us. We had a deck built here, and he had helped us with that. And so, oh, yeah, hi, you know. So, but, you know, we can't tell who, you can only tell who people are. And so this hiding of our identity, the muzzling of our voice, the shutting down of our creativity and expressiveness, and the way that we are pushed through fear to be safe, right? We would rather be safe than to be free. And I have to say, I'm beside myself. I don't know really what to do about this. I want to tell everybody, look, everybody, I'm contagious. I'm very contagious. If you get too very close to me, you're gonna get very healthy. Because I'm a radiating center of extreme health, and yet people are, you know, and I'd love to just go hug everybody and give them some health. But the idea is everybody's afraid. Now they're afraid of you. We're afraid of each other. Don't get too close. Stay away. You're going to make me sick. You know, this narrative, there's nothing more toxic than this narrative, and it's based on lies. Based on total lies. So, the whole idea here is to somehow develop our capacity to understand that as we sow, so shall we reap. And that if we keep reaping, what we are reaping seeds that we've been sowing. And the other aspect is I've written about too, but I'll just reinforce that again, is the invisible nature of it, right? These viruses are invisible. We can't stop them. We need outside help. We need outside technology. I mean, the fact that we have an amazing immune system, as T. Colin Campbell says, if we're eating healthy foods, you know, all these other things, that's what the government should be emphasizing. They should be emphasizing fresh air and healthy foods. The death rate of this so-called pandemic is the same as a seasonal flu. It's not any higher than that. But in any event, to be healthy ourselves requires us really to think healthy thoughts, to eat healthy food, to have a healthy purpose for our life, and to engage in a way of living that's healthy. And this is really taking responsibility for our health rather than giving away our responsibility to corporations which profit from disease, which profit from violence, which profit from pollution. That's how they make their money. It's been well understood, for example, that the CDC has these two sections. One section are investigators that go if there's an outbreak of a disease somewhere, and they check to see if there's any pollution in that area, like bad air, bad water, you know, toxic chemicals in the food. And that section of the CDC gets virtually no funding because they don't want to find that. They don't want to find that's the reason. The other section of the CDC goes out and looks for or proclaims there's a virus that's causing everybody to be sick. Because that's great. You know, if it's pollution, then we have laws against the corporations. They don't want that. They have regulations. They get fined. They don't want that. The CDC is like any government organization. It's completely captured by the banks and the pharmaceutical industry and the corporations. So proclaiming a virus when people get sick, then that's just massive profits for these chemical corporations to make us even more sick with this end game that everyone is tracked. you can't buy, you know, food or go to on an airline without your mark, you know, the mark on your wrist or the mark on your phone. So we're all marked and tracked. So, you know, cows have a tag in their ear their entire life. They're born with it and they die with it. And humans are going to be the same. It's like they're talking about it openly right now. Bill Gates is talking about it. Everybody's talking about this quite openly. And the underlying idea, again, is that it's these invisible forces that are harming us. And we, if we're eating animal foods, are the invisible forces that are harming all these animals. So as vegans, we are giving the message that can help transform our society. And that's the beautiful thing to remember. We are living that message. And so I think the more we can bring our consciousness to this, our, you know, in ways that are healthy, the better it is for everybody. So I wanted to emphasize the way to do this, I think, essentially, is to be positive. I think it's really important to stay positive. And I know in many ways we feel that this is a very negative time. You know, like there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of disease going around, and there's a lot of economic devastation and despair, a lot of suicide, a lot of spousal abuse, child abuse, drug addiction, alcoholism are booming. I just got this beautiful email from the Jains. You know, I give a lot of lectures to the Jain people because they're vegetarian and a lot of them are trying to go vegan. So I'm on their mailing list, and the Jains are pretty prosperous, and the Jains in the United States. And so I just got this email, and they were requesting donations because they're trying to create a big fund of hundreds of thousands of dollars to give to people in India. Because India is another example. India, the death rate of coronavirus in India is minuscule. I mean, the percentage is nothing. But there's this draconian lockdown on the people of India, on their economy. And India, we've been to India. I mean, you can't do that to these people. They're living on the edge already. And if you lock down their economy, you shut down their stores, it's all these small little businesses that are basically the heart and soul of India are just destroyed by these lockdowns. And so what they were saying in this letter is that because of the economic lockdowns in India, whole families are committing suicide together. Whole families are just committing suicide because they can't live. You know, that's what this is doing. That's what this coronavirus, that's not the virus doing it. It's a conscious decision to suck the money out of the poor people into the hands of the rich and take away everyone's freedom and reduce the population on a massive level. And so we can see that happening, you know, and I'm sure there's a tendency, if we have a few brain cells working, we can see this is what's happening. But the problem is, I think, that we can then get consumed with a feeling of dread or a feeling of anger or a feeling of outrage, which are, you know, natural responses. And as vegans, we're used to that. I mean, I'm used to that. I'm used to feeling outraged and angry and dread, really, the future of these animals and what's happening to them and how they're being abused. And now it's human animals. The same thing's happening. And human animals are like, they don't know any better. They just go along with it. They can't wait to give away their freedom. They want to give away their freedom. Humans want to give away our freedom. We want to. We can't wait to give it away. That's really what happens. It's the authoritarian complex. You know, since we're dominating animals on a massive scale and dominating each other and dominating nature, then the reverse of that is that we crave to be dominated. You know, there's this deep psychological subconscious craving to be dominated. And so we just, yeah, dominate me. Just dominate me. Just put on a mask. I'll shut down. I'll stay in my cave. And just, you know, I don't want to be, I'm afraid to be free. And that's the basic mentality, unfortunately, in today's society, based on 10,000 years of animal agriculture and the domination of the many by the few. So the whole idea here, again, for us, I think, personally, is to develop our capacity to be positive and to realize fundamentally that our own consciousness, our own mind, is our responsibility. That our own inner peace is our responsibility. The world can turn into an insane asylum. And it's actually, that's what seems to be what's happening. And it's important for each one of us to be an island of sanity within that. And we are becoming, I think, more and more islands of sanity within an insane kind of a world. But that's how it is. I mean, every generation has faced challenges. And we tend to think, well, these are the worst ever. But every generation thought it was the worst ever. So, it's a challenge. It's a strong challenge. But instead of reacting in fear or in anger or in contracting, I think the key is to spend more time connecting with the truth of the fact that what I am was never born and will never die, that what I am is essentially eternal consciousness, and that I'm here on this earth for a purpose at this time. This is a great time to be alive. I can be part of the force that is bringing whatever transformative potential is available to us as individuals and as a society. I can do my part. Just do your part. I can't tell anyone what their part is. I can't tell anyone how they should live. But I think all of us, it's incumbent upon us now more than ever to cultivate positivity and happiness and gratitude moment by moment, even when we see things we don't like, going into a store, seeing a bunch of people who have just bought into this whole thing. You know, it is disturbing, but to send love to everybody and to be friendly and happy. And we got these pamphlets that we're handing out that to people that we think might be open, that talk about the devastating impact of wearing masks and how there really isn't any research that shows that they help. There's a lot of research showing that they hurt. They cause, I'm learning these new words, hypoxia, which is a low oxygen level, and hypercapnia, which is excess carbon dioxide, and plus breathing in all these toxic viruses and bacteria, plus they escape and actually create much more disease on the people around them. I mean, they're actually counterproductive. You create more disease with masks. The research is very clear about this, actually. There's some very interesting research done by Russell Blaylock and a bunch of other people that show that if you want to make people really sick, you put masks on them. And we're not designed for this. This is going to and then create a lot of fear, because the whole idea is that when people are contracted and afraid, they're going to become sick. And you just create that basic meme in society. People, unfortunately, we're very telepathic, so people pick that up, and it creates, like Rupert Sheldrake talked about, the morphogenetic fields. I think it's very important to understand that there are fields of consciousness that are morphogenetic. They create the forms. They create the way, not just our physical body forms, but the forms of our cultural institutions. And so it's like this whole initiation ritual of fear and separation and isolation, and then putting masks on top of that in order to terrorize people into subjugation, and then doing very irrational things one on top of the other. It doesn't make sense, and the more nonsensical it gets, the more it works. That's the irony. It's like when you look at the most damaging cults in history. They haven't been rational and logical. They've been really the opposite. Look at like Charles Manson or Jim Jones, that whole thing. All these cults, they're really very irrational. And the more irrational they are, the more the people are, they love it. You know, they take it in even stronger.
Well, are you
amazing? So I think it's important to just kind of understand, you know, kind of how this all works. That rationality doesn't help, you know, it doesn't help at all. And for us, the rationality helps, I think. I think that's the key thing to understand. So that's what I mainly wanted to emphasize is the idea of staying positive, seeking out alternative sources of information, supporting each other, and then really promoting veganism. I think it's really critical. I mean, I love what Anna's doing. Anna and Mark, and you know, and I just spoke like a week or two ago for the Albuquerque Veg Fest. And I still love, I just give the vegan message. I mean, the vegan message is critical. If we don't go vegan, right? I've been saying this for years. If we don't go vegan, we are going to be imprisoned. This is what we're seeing. It's happening. So the vegan message is the most important. But I think if we're vegan, right, then we should be savvy. And even if we're not vegan, we should be savvy. But we need to be able somehow to defend ourselves against the tyranny that's unfolding around us. But also, I think, to stop being agents of tyranny. So the more we can, again, share this message, the better. But I think we have to share it truthfully. You know, and some of these ideas that vegans are promoting, like this is all coming because of the bats or whatever. I mean, I think a lot of this stuff isn't true, and it sort of takes away our veracity of what we're saying. So I think we should only speak about what we know is really true. And what we know, actually, what we feel in our bones. And I think it's obviously true that imprisoning animals and abusing them, it's going to create disease. It's going to create, these poor animals are very diseased. We're eating diseased flesh.
We're all.
Now, that's for sure. But I think the most important thing is to create a healthy environment for ourselves and the people around us, and then create as best we can healthy communities in the face of this. So I've been talking here for a few minutes. I'd like to stop and then open it up for a comment.
Will, can you hear me?
Yeah, Michael, go ahead. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I don't know if you can see me, but I wanted to ask a question to Will or anybody that's on the line.
Sure.
That could address this, and I would really appreciate it. And I did address it kind of in the Vegan Spirit group on Facebook. So we understand the implications and what's going on around the world with this lockdown and pandemic. But what, as individuals, what can we do to refuse the masks, wearing masks, if it's mandatory in certain stores, for example, or certain locations, or if we have to take a medical exam if we're going on a plane or something? What do we do? How do we get past these nonsensical laws, you know, that governments implement on us? How do we get around it?
Yeah.
And I've been talking to a lot of people, even so-called anarchists and religious people and spiritual people and so forth, and nobody really has answers. You know, just, I mean, the only thing I see is basically anarchists trying to go within the system, trying to tackle the laws within the laws, which I don't know if it really works. But how do we do this? How do we get around this whole system? Well, like, what happens if we do get vaccinated, mandatory vaccinated? Then what?
Right. Okay, so thanks, Michael. You know, those are very valid questions. And I think in every case, you know, we have to look at the situation, what it actually is. You know, it's like where we are in Northern California, we're in a somewhat rural area, so we're able to tell people we have a medical exemption, and that works. That's worked just fine. Say it convincingly, and that's been working for us. But I can see it's like at the bank today where they say, well, that doesn't count anymore. We don't accept a medical exemption anymore. So the next time I go to the bank, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to the guy, and we'll see. I mean, you know, he said you can do your transaction outside and, you know, that kind of thing, whatever. But there's also like a form that there's a woman named Peggy Hall. She has a website, and I really recommend her website because she's got a lot of practical things you can do. Like there's a form I always carry with me where if someone does not allow you entry into their place of business because you're not wearing a mask, then you say, well, you know, you're breaking the law. I mean, that is against the Constitution. It's also against the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. This is in the United States anyway. It wouldn't apply maybe to Canada or to other countries. But in the United States, you know, the ADA mandates that you cannot discriminate against anyone on their race, gender, whatever, orientation, or medical condition. So I have a medical condition, does not allow me, I need to breathe, I can't have a mask on. So if they say no, it doesn't matter, you still can't come in, then you have this form where you write it down and they have to sign that they are violating the law. And I think it's good just to whatever whatever we can do to help them to take responsibility. Because people want to like avoid responsibility. This is the company policy. Don't blame me. And I said, well, I want your name, and I want, you know, and just get it, you know, and then if you want, you could actually do a lawsuit. I mean, that's something probably most people aren't going to be doing, but it is happening. I mean, this German lawyer is just one example, but it's happening. I mean, Attorney General Barr, Andy Schulgaster sent this around, but he's in the United States. He's actually officially mandating that people within the Attorney General's Office of the United States are telling states that they cannot, that the Constitution, you can't override the Constitution, in a pandemic like this. I mean, so when states are saying some of these masking and lockdown orders, they're unconstitutional, and people could be held criminally liable, civilly liable, and criminally liable. So this form that I'm talking about, it tells the people that you can be criminally and civilly liable for not only breaking the law, you can be fined, but you can go to jail if you don't let people into your store because they don't have a mask. I mean, just let them know that they are breaking the law. And these petty bureaucrats, these health department officials, or even governors, they don't have the right, actually, they don't have any legal foothold or standing to make. These are not laws that have been signed by legislatures and so forth. These are like fascist dictates. They shouldn't carry any legal power. So this is going to be going to the courts, I think. I mean, hopefully. It just depends on how corrupt the system is, you know, and how much we push back, how much we say, I'm not going to go along with this, you know, and that's why I just won't wear a mask and why I don't acquiesce myself. I can't tell anybody else what to do, but in certain cases, like I know if we were going to go on a plane, we would probably not be able to get on the plane without wearing a mask, because that's just how it is. Or to, like you were saying, to go into a country without getting a test, it might be hard to get around that. You know, you might be breaking the law if you say, okay, I'm going to take a boat and come in on the beach in the middle of the night, and now I'm in the country, and here I am, I made it. But, you know, maybe you're going to get picked up by the police. If they catch you, you might not have the paper you're supposed to have. You know, you might have to pay, end up in a jail. Or, you know, I don't know what will happen. So these are all things we have to – so we're not taking plane flight. We're not flying by plane. You know, we'll drive if we have to, or we won't go there, or – or if we had to, I guess, you know, we really felt like we had to, we'd wear the mask, I guess, you know. But personally, I don't like that idea. So I think each one of us has to draw the lines where we have to draw the lines, where we feel it's right. And like I say, in different jurisdictions, it's all different. All over the world, it's different. In some countries, nobody's wearing a mask. You know, move to Sweden, nobody's wearing one there. But in other places, it's much stricter. But it is a global thing. I mean, it is a global, more or less, done at that level. You know, they have the power to do that now. So, I think we have to just get as creative as we can and work together and support. I think ultimately the courts are our best, the courts and also public awareness. Public awareness is so critical. And, encountering fear with love as best we can, but understanding that a lot of people are now indoctrinated into the cult, and no matter what you say, they're just going to say, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist, I'm not going to listen to you. And that is unfortunate, but people's brains have been, unfortunately, I think people are really wounded in our society in general. I mean, most younger people have already gone through a much worse indoctrination program than I ever went through. I'm very lucky. I only had two or three vaccines. There weren't many pesticides and herbicides and all that crap when I was a kid. And the educational system was a lot better. I wasn't indoctrinated so badly. I had a lot more freedom growing up. And I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a cell phone. I wasn't looking into a TV, you know, a computer screen. And I wasn't getting my reality from computers. I mean, kids today, young people, people in their teens or 20s or 30s, they're just way more wounded, unfortunately. But even old people too, I mean, who are concerned about their health, they're really easy targets as well, you know. So that's, I think, the reason the media I haven't trusted the media for 30-40 years, but most people trust the media. So I think, Michael, to answer your question, you know, we're all kind of on our own to figure this out, but anything anybody learns we can share. I'd recommend, you know, like I say, that website with Peggy Hall, and just praying, you know, and maybe you can develop your your life and your consciousness in a certain way that doors will open where they won't open for anyone else. You know, that does happen. I mean, people do have that capacity. They just are able to move in the world in a way that doors open where they shouldn't open for other people. But if you have that consciousness where you really know that this is the right thing, the angels and the forces that be will help you. So I think, you know, we shouldn't have limitations. I mean, the idea is that we are the architects of our life, of our experience. Our life is a manifestation of our own consciousness. And don't settle for too many limitations. I mean, really, whatever limitations we believe in, we'll have them. So don't accept limitations that you don't want to accept, right? I mean, basically, I mean, you know, you got to obviously deal with that in your own way, but still, there are so many examples of people who have been able to heal things that the doctors said could never be healed, or have been able to do things that the officials say could never be done. I mean, it happens all the time, actually. So I don't, hopefully that's helpful. Okay, who else? I hear some noise on the line here. Anyone else have a question or a comment? I'm happy we have a little time left.
I wanted to say something about the Sweden thing that you... Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead, Judy. Go ahead. You go ahead, Deborah. You're next. Okay, just very briefly, that was I really liked your answer to Michael, but I would just like to give a plug to Peggy's website, which is called thehealthyamerican.org. And so thehealthyamerican.org. And she also has on the website a place where you can connect to meet up with like-minded people in your area. So tons of videos, and she has this brand new way to support each other.
Thank you, Deborah. That's great to know. So it's called thehealthyamerican.org. Great. And I'll also mention Dr. Pam Popper. She's a vegan doctor, MD, not an MD, but a naturopathic doctor, and she's got something, Make America Free Again, I think it is. And she's also getting local groups, more mainly politically oriented, but there's also, that's another movement in the United States. It's good to be aware of these two websites. Thank you so much, Deborah. Anything else, or was that it?
Well, I just had to learn the first is Make America Free Again. So, is Make Americans Free Again.
Okay. Make Americans Free Again. That's what it is?
Yes. Hers is plural. Peggy Hall's is singular. The Healthy American.
Oh, good. Thanks for that clarification. Great.
Sure. No problem.
Thanks.
Thank you for mentioning them both. They're fabulous.
Right. Thanks. Good. Okay, Judy.
Yeah, I was just seeing, I think what I'm seeing around here, I'm in Kansas, is some sort of awareness dawning among people who've been, you know, accepting the narrative that the mass media has been producing. One thing that happened today, we went to our granddaughter's hockey game. Field hockey game. All the kids were wearing masks.
No.
The people, yes. And the people in the stands, about half of them were not. Now, at the soccer game for our other granddaughter, all the kids were not wearing masks, and the people in the stands were wearing masks. And I think people are starting to see how crazy this is. And I said to my daughter-in-law, I said, so what's going on with the soccer kids not wearing masks and the hockey girls having to wear masks? And she said, basically what the school is saying is that if they're wearing masks while they're playing and someone tests positive for COVID, they don't have to quarantine for 2 weeks. But if they weren't wearing masks, then all the players would have to quarantine for 2 weeks. That's the hockey team. But the soccer team is completely different. And I think people are starting to see that none of this makes any sense. And they're laughing and going, yeah, this is nuts. And nobody knows what's going on. Every school has different rules, and they're going to start letting the kids come back for 2 days a week and remote learning the other few days. And that makes no sense either. And the private schools are meeting in person, and the public schools are not. Anyway, I think I'm bringing this up because I think it's kind of hopeful, because I think the people who are living these regular lives and having to deal with schools and work and all these things are hearing all these different scenarios of what they're supposed to be doing and why it makes sense. Well, how can it all make sense if they're all different?
Yeah.
And so there's starting to be some questioning, I think. But on the other side of the coin, it's occurred to me that the people I've been talking to who are wearing masks and even in their cars and being very proud of it, it's occurred to me that they want to be heroes. They really kind of see this as an opportunity to be heroes in a time when everybody's scared and they're feeling what we're all feeling. There's huge changes taking place in our consciousness, in our culture, and lots of chaos. And it's like this, like we've always said, going vegan, that's the most heroic, most productive, and easiest thing you could ever do. But wearing a mask's even easier. And so it just occurred to me that is something they're hanging on to. I finally found something that I can be a hero with, but it doesn't really take any work. It's just wearing a mask. I might want to make a fancy mask, but that's about the most work that's involved. And so I think that's maybe going on. A little bit. And I think when we run into someone who just can't hear us, we've got to realize that they're looking at life through this very limited lens. And it means something to them now. And so I think for them, because we care about them so much, our main message there is about the mandatory vaccine, to make sure they understand, okay, you know, don't worry about the mask so much, but if they start talking about a mandatory vaccine, please, please do your research and understand that that thing is going to be so dangerous and you do not want to take it. And now's the time to do that research. So I think, you know, if they're just simply closed to any talk about masks, I think the next thing to talk about is the mandatory vaccine.
Thank you. Thanks, Judy. I think that's a great point, because mandatory masking leads right into mandatory vaccine. Right? That's what they keep saying. There's no return to the normal. It's going to be a vaccine. And I think that's, you're right, that's the real danger, because these vaccines won't be like any other. I mean, vaccines are already very toxic, but once you start putting nano robots in there, particles and so forth for tracking, then it's a whole different thing. So you're right. It's important for people to do their research and see where this is all leading. It's, you know, it's so obvious to us where it's leading, and I think the average person doesn't think it's leading anywhere. They think, oh, it's just for a little while. They said that today. I just heard it today where we live in Hidden Valley Lake. They said, well, right now we're at level red because we've had like, you know, what is it? Some ridiculous number, like 13 people in our entire county have died from COVID. All of them have been like over 80 years old. And so, but because of that, you know, we have to wear, we want to get back to level orange. Then we can open up. So make everybody wear your mask. You know, it's kind of like be part of the team. Do your part for the team. Don't mess it up for everybody else. And so if we're not wearing a mask, it's like, well, we don't care about the community. We're going to, because of us, it's going to go back to level red, you know, never going to get to level orange, and we're going to be locked down. I mean, it's so insidious the way it's being portrayed to people. They never talk about the fact that there is no test for COVID-19. I mean, there isn't a test. It's a... There's no test. I mean, so whatever test they're doing is already, but anyway, we're getting to the end. Thank you everyone for joining. I think I should probably, begin to wrap it up here. Is there any final, questions or comments that anyone might have?
And you want to share? I actually wanted to say something about,
Avi.
Hi. It's like 2:30 in the morning. Yeah,
it's
sorry,
amazing.
Thank
you so much, Eve, for joining us from England, where I know things are also pretty challenging in England.
Yeah, they're locking us down on Saturday in London, and I'm having a big hard time about it. I spent half the time in the beginning, like just sitting here crying because I just feel like my life is ending. But it seems unending, but I wanted to address, you mentioned the chipping, and a few moments ago you mentioned Sweden and how they're not masking and they're not mandating masking and they're not locking things down. But I saw an interesting news piece, and I texted you about this, but I have to find the link again. And I don't know if this is propaganda or what, but they're talking about how, oh, it's so great. In Sweden, they're having chipping parties, and people are voluntarily getting chipped because it's great, and they can open doors, and they interviewed all these people, and they were just happy about getting things injected under their hands.
Wow.
And so I think that's why they're not mandating all this stuff, because they're just going along with it, and they're very keen to get chipped, and they don't have to try to scare everybody into doing it the way that they're trying to do it here and there and everywhere.
That's very interesting. You're right, because the end game is, of course, microchipping of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's to get everybody on the grid, and the 5G is rolling out, and the new iPhone just came out, which is 5G. So it's just a hot mess.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. I think it's good to be aware of these things, and I'm sorry to hear. I know it's people in Australia right now are under a lot of stress with this whole thing. And I'll put a link, but there's a brand new interview coming out of Australia, people who are pushing back on this. Claire Mann, a wonderful vegan activist, she's in the video. It's on David Icke's website. So I think, again, to just do the best we can to find a liberated space for ourselves and for others, and to do the best we can not to acquiesce to it. And remember the truth that what we are is infinite and eternal consciousness. And we're just here for a short time. There must be ways around these things, and just stay open to higher wisdom and what they might be. But thanks for joining us from England. I think okay. So
Hello?
Yeah. Okay, yes?
Hi, it's Nancy Postnack.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say, from a different perspective, I do wear a mask when I'm out and about. And I have a lot of mixed feelings about the whole thing. I mean, like...
Right.
I don't feel like I have all the answers, but I do wear a mask when I'm out and about because I do want to be careful. I do know that this is highly contagious, and, you know, our country had such a botched response, which is one of the reasons why it's been so crazy here, other than other countries. And we also, I think, are a very international country, so we'll have more people coming and going through our airports than maybe someplace like Sweden or Switzerland. I don't know. But the information, even like wearing a mask, I know that, you know, like long-term, and to me long-term would be more than like 20 or 30 minutes of just having that mask on your face. It really does, you know, start to wear thin on you, and I myself get like loose about it, but I really don't feel that, for me, and I don't feel like I'm trying to be a hero. I don't feel like I just believe whatever anybody tells me. I've never been that way in my whole life. And with all the love and respect that I have for you and all these other people, I'm like, I never just go, because, you know, Will said it, or because somebody else said it. You know, I really do work on just looking deep within myself and learning as much as I can. And the only thing I've seen about that saying that masks are not effective were studies that were done on people, healthcare workers that were around people that had the flu, and the healthcare worker wore a mask and the person with the flu didn't. And well, that makes sense, you know, that it wouldn't matter because it didn't, there are other factors involved in that as well. How close? How long? Did you get it on surfaces? You know, so those are the only studies that I've seen, and the masks have never been touted as a cure. There's also, you know, keeping a distance and keeping clean, you know, keeping things clean. So, but, you know, it's very confusing in a way. It's very confusing, and I just want to ask people to please consider the fact that as human beings, we all have ego, and we want to defend what we're doing and, you know, say, well, if you're not like me, you're this and you're that and you're wrong and you're weak and you're this. And I feel like as vegans that are really want to establish justice and trust and love in the world, I'd like to see us avoid doing that. Say, you know what? I feel from the best of my perspective, this is what I'm going to do. You have a different perspective. You're wearing your mask. You're giving a difference. I don't agree with that, but I'm not going to say, well, the reason you're doing that is because you're this and you're that, and you right. don't really know. Right. I've was a kid, I've never been that way, you know. And Thanks. And as someone that's always been a seeker of truth, it's really put me at odds quite often with the world around me.
Right, right.
And Thanks, another person, I'll be quick, that I do trust their opinion is Philip Wolin. He's been around the world. He's known people in governments, and he's got this extraordinarily vast worldly perspective. And as far as I can see, he's not on the same wavelength of, you know, it's a mass, conspiracy to trap us. And I think that actually has already been happening with or without the virus. And it's possible the virus. Yeah. Okay, we're done. Thank you.
No, it's good. It's just, I have kind of a commitment to end at 6:30. So it was our, Madeline was kind of, say, Madeline, did you want to say a little something? You'll do it next time? Okay, she'll talk next time. So, I think it's absolutely essential, obviously, that each one of us make up our own mind. The whole point here, of course, is I think from my point of view anyways, to use our intuition and question the mainstream media, because the mainstream media is pushing hard on the people who are saying we should be wearing masks. They're the ones that are pushing, and the mainstream media is captured by Big Pharma. And I've learned over the years as a vegan for 40 years that Big Pharma has enormous power and money, and it's increasing by leaps and bounds every year. And they want us masking, and they want us doing these things. So it's just, I think, very important for us to keep our consciousness as clear as we can be. I'd like to close with just a short piece of music, maybe just very briefly, and then about for next time, because we did go a little bit over here. So this is a short piece of music. And the nice thing about music is no one can argue about a D minor chord. Here's a nice D minor chord. Thank you. right, everyone. Well, thank you again for joining us, and I really appreciate the input of everybody. So we'll be having our third Thursday meeting in November. Boy, what that'll be. I wonder what will be happening in November. I guess we'll find out. And that'll be on the 19th, the third Thursday. And I think we'll probably go ahead and do our satsang on the first Thursday of November, which is the 5th. And that's where we focus more on just a meditation and spiritual teachings. So much love to all of you. Let's say together the prayer, the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere together. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. One final time. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Much love to all of you. Thanks again for sharing and for being with us, and look forward to being in touch with you, and I'll send out an email with some of these links we talked about. And don't forget Anna Ferguson and the Cincy Veg Fest coming up, and go forth and multiply the message for the liberation of all beings. All right. Much love to everyone. Thank you. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Will.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Will. Love you.
Love you, too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.